Let me begin with a little story which I heard from another minister. It's about a teenager who has just gotten his driver's license. And then he went to his father and asked, "Father, can I borrow your car?" And the father said, "Okay, no problem. But first of all, I would like you to up your school grades. I would like you to read your Bible every day. And I would like you to cut your hair. When you've done those three things, then you can come and have the key for my car." And the son said, "Okay." And then he left. About a week later, he came back to his father and said, "Father, can I have the key to your car?" And the father said, "Okay, I have seen that you have up your grades in school. I have seen that you have read your Bible every day, but you have not cut your hair." And the teenager said, "Father, when I read the Bible, I noticed that Moses kept long hair. And Samson also kept long hair. Even Jesus kept long hair, Father." And then the father said, "Okay, but you missed out one thing." And the teenager said, "What is it?" And the father said, "Indeed, Moses, Samson, Jesus all kept long hair. But did you notice that they never drove a car? They always walked to wherever they went. So, kid, go and walk." Anyway, it's a story. I'm not against long hair, okay? Just a story. All right. Now, talking about, upping your grades and talking about, reading your Bible every day and, keeping good haircut. Jesus, in our gospel this morning, says that except a seed of corn falls into the ground and dies, it stays alone. But when it falls into the ground and dies, meaning it germinates, then it grows, and then it produces crops of corn. And Jesus says, so it will be for him. You see, Jesus was making that illustration to refer to his death and his resurrection. Jesus was alone, a single person, and he was walking all over the place. He was preaching, he was teaching, he was healing people, he was performing miracles. Single corn, single seed of corn was he. Everyone wants to see him. Everyone needed his attention. And here today we read that even the Greeks, some Greek people came. They said, "We want to see Jesus." And when the disciples came and told Jesus, Jesus says, let me try and put it in American slang. Jesus says, "Hey guys, you ain't seen nothing yet. Just wait until I die and I'm risen from the dead, and I will blow your mind." All right, let me explain that. Jesus says, "Hey, you see all these crowds looking for me? You see all these people, the whole of Jerusalem, because of my preaching and my teaching and my miracles? That's just small. When I am raised from the dead, the whole world will come after me." That's what Jesus was saying. Remember, Jesus had 12 disciples. And then, on the day of Pentecost, they were just 120 waiting. And then when the Holy Spirit came and Peter preached, they became 3,000. Are you making the calculation with me? Jesus says, "I will draw all men unto me." He started with 12. 120 were waiting in the upper room. And then Peter preached after Pentecost. 3,000 came. He's drawing people, right? That's what he's saying. And after that, the whole of Jerusalem was turned upside down with the gospel. And the religious leaders went after Peter and James and John. Say, "Hey guys, you are preaching heresy." It was too late. Before you knew it, Jesus has gone spreading from Jerusalem to Judea, Judea to Samaria, Samaria to Rome, Rome to Asia, Asia to Europe, Europe to Africa. And today we have billions of Christians, all of them following Jesus. Jesus says, when I am lifted up, I will draw people unto me. Today, he's drawing people all over the world to himself. How? By the power of resurrection. Jesus is the only one who has the gift of immortality. I will say that again. Jesus is the only one who has the gift of immortality. That is what we are all looking for. We want to remain young. We want to be youthful. We don't want to die. Newsflash. Come to Jesus. Turn to your neighbor. Say, come to Jesus. Come on, do it now. I know you are not Baptist, but say, come to Jesus. Amen. Now, let me try and bring it down quickly to our own physical lives. You see, when Jesus says, except a seed of corn falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone, it cannot produce more. You see, when we as a people, individually or collectively, when we don't make certain moves in our lives, we don't make progress, we don't become productive, we don't become effective. You see, when you don't do those physical exercise and therapy, you don't get well. You don't get strength. You don't get fit. You don't look, you know what I mean, attractive, so to say, because you're not doing those physical exercise and therapies, so to say. When you don't read your books, when you don't do that homework, when you don't turn in that homework, when you don't complete that assignment, when you don't carry out that project, you don't get your good grades, you don't come out with shining colors from school. You see, when you don't write that research, when you don't write that contract, when you don't make that presentation, you don't get the job, you don't get the contract. You see, in life, sometimes we have to die to make progress. When you are doing your assignment, it's like dying. Because you're like, man, this is hard, this is tough. Oh no, I don't want to do this. Why? Do we have to go to school? Must I read that book again? Oh boy, this research is killing me. My instructor keep asking me to repeat that. Yeah, so you're dying. But just stick to it, because when it's true, you make progress. You become a PhD holder. Hallelujah. So you see, certain times in life, we have to pass through some kind of process of dying to self until we're able to make achievement. We're able to hit that target, achieve that goal, get that promotion, win that contract, and improve our bank account. You see that? It goes through a process that feels like death. Because you are separated from the things you would have loved to do. Watch television, watch movies, go to the bar, go to parties, which are good, but you can't do that now. You have to die and carry out that assignment and fulfill that project and achieve that goal. There's time for everything. That's what happens in life. If you don't make such moves, you remain like a single seed of corn. You remain on the shelf, on the counter. And you just waste away. Make that move this morning. Finally, let me bring it to our spiritual life. You see, when Jesus says, except a corn of which a seed of corn falls into the ground and dies, it stays alone. Spiritually, you know, we are all spiritual beings. I hope you know that. Jesus is spiritual. God is a spirit. Those that worship God, worship him in spirit and in truth. See, if you are not a spirit, how can you worship in spirit? So take it from me, you are a spirit. All right, see me later, I'll explain more. So, you see, in our spiritual lives, we need to die to self before we can make spiritual progress and before we can experience certain spiritual realities that we read in the Bible. Before we can experience God in certain real ways, God is spirit, we have to die to self. Now, what is self? Self is our sensual desires, our sensual feelings, our sensual urges, our selfish nature. We need to die to our selfish nature, which I think is the basis for most of our human problems, is selfishness. So at times we need to die, well, not at times, we need to practice daily dying to our sensual urges, those lusts, those sinful desires, those ungodly cravings. We have to say no to them. Now, how do we say no to them? How do we die to them? It is by practicing the process of dying. Again, the process of dying spiritually, you will be surprised. It's reading your Bible. You remember the teenager, the father said, read your Bible every day, right? When you read your Bible every day and you pray every day to God, you will be surprised how much your sensual desires will be dying, will be paling off, believe me. And if you are very, very passionate about God, when you add fasting to it, if you try and fast one day in a week, you stay away from food, no breakfast, no lunch, until dinner time. And during that period, you read your Bible, you pray, you love God, you tell him how much you need him, and ask him to fill you more and more, and tell him how much you want to overcome your sensual desires and be more like Jesus. You'll be surprised how much spiritual transformation will take place. You'll be surprised how that anger that holds you like this will be gone. You'll be a new you. You'll be surprised how that lust after different women will just disappear like that. Believe me, you'll be a new you. You'll be surprised how that pride that you carry all over the place will just disappear. Sincerely speaking, if you add what we are doing today, fellowship, worship, communion, all these are spiritual disciplines. They feel like dying. Some of you here sitting down, you look at your wristwatch. Come on, I need to go and play golf. You see, because you are dying to golf. See what I mean? Because golf, what will it do for you? Yeah, physical exercise is good, but spiritual exercise will help you so that you don't smack that golf stick on somebody. See what I mean? So when we do that, when we add the love for God and the love for humans, when you love people, you love God, it's spiritual discipline, because some people, they are hard to love, I tell you. So when you love them, you know, it just helps you to die. You're like, man, this is killing. I love. And then when you add charity, kindness, good works, helping the poor, the undeserved or the underserved and so on, when you are learned to have that milk of human kindness and you show it practically, it helps you spiritually. It builds your spiritual potentials. And I end with this. When you practice spiritual dying, some of the things I've mentioned, and much more you will find out from other people and other books and preachers, there are benefits. I tell you the truth, there are benefits. Some of those benefits are, number one, you have joy. Joy unspeakable. Joy that doesn't come from your bank account or your clothes or your cars or your houses or your properties. No, just joy, inner joy that nothing can stop. You're happy. You have happiness, so to say. And then you have peace. Peace of mind that the world cannot take away. If they say the economy is crashing, you have peace. If they say there's going to be another COVID-20 or 24, you have peace. If they say Putin is trying to send nuclear whatever to America, you have peace. Now, that doesn't mean we should not be concerned, but we have peace. See what I mean? Whatever is going on, Jesus says, the peace I give unto you, the world cannot give, cannot take it away from you. And I'm a preacher that believes in divine health and divine healing. I believe strongly that when we practice spiritual discipline, we enjoy divine health. Most of the sicknesses and infection and diseases that commonly, ordinarily, we catch people and kill people will not catch us, will not kill us. Now, I know I'm taking it too far, but that's what I believe. Honestly, that's what I believe. All right? Because when you practice spiritual discipline like Jesus, when you die to your sensual, your selfish, when you become more like God, more like Christ, believe me, the life of Christ, immortality, to certain degrees, begin to show in your body. Immortality, to certain degrees, begin to show in your body. And part of it is divine healing, divine health, is immortality in a measure. Amen.